In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst. He is in our shine. Just got back from a long week of summer camp, which was a wonderful week with the teens of the diocese. We had a great week, but if I doze off in the middle of the sermon, somebody might need to wake me up, because I am feeling it this morning. Many late nights, many early mornings. Many times in my life, when I've noticed that something should be fixed or improved, I have said to myself, somebody should do something about that. It could be something as simple as a burned out light bulb when you walk into an entrance. It could be something like a complicated and bureaucratic insurance policy. When there is clearly an identified problem, it comes to my mind that somebody should do something about that problem. Why leave that problem standing unfixed? And as life has progressed, I have certainly discovered that I'm not alone in that noticing things that maybe need to be fixed or something that could be improved upon. In fact, various times I've heard people say that very thing. Somebody should do something about that. And while we may not be in a position to change a complicated insurance policy, we may be, in fact, in a place where we can change a light bulb. And I have had to learn that when I think to myself, someone should do something about that, I should question myself whether I am that someone that should do something about that. Maybe it's I myself that should do the thing that I'm noticing. It's often the fact of parish life, perhaps not so much here, but it is even sometimes here. A fact of parish life is that the suggestion box is full. And yet the people that are willing to do something about those suggestions, those are not as full, they are few. Statistically speaking, there are always more suggestions for improvement than people willing to implement improvements, to do something about it and actually improve something. And sometimes I think this even spills over into our own perspective of our spiritual life. We want someone else to pray for us, when in fact maybe we are not actively engaging prayer ourselves. But yet we want somebody else to pray for us because we're facing this thing or that thing, or something's coming up, or we're not experiencing good health, or whatever the situation might be. We want people to pray for us. But the question is, are we praying for ourselves? We want other people to participate in things, and yet we may not participate ourselves. When it's often true that we want other people to believe for us, to exercise faith for us without exercising that same faith ourselves, without struggling through what it means to believe for ourselves. We need to understand clearly that when it comes to our own spiritual life, it is something that we must do for ourselves. Others can't do for us, we must do for ourselves. And in today's gospel text, we see Jesus give sight to two blind men. Clearly in this case, Jesus heals based upon their faith. Jesus explicitly says to them, according to your faith, be it done to you. And their faith was great enough that their sight was once again there. Perhaps not once again, we don't know their whole story. Maybe it's the first time they've seen in their life. But they received their sight based on the fact that they had faith and believed that they would receive that sight from Christ. And so it was, they received their sight. Perhaps at times we read the gospel passages about the miracles of Christ, or perhaps we read the book of Acts and the various miracles that were performed through the apostles themselves, or we read the lives of the saints and we see the miraculous stories that accompanied so many of them. And sometimes as we read these things and then we ponder the life that we live, we can question why such things do not occur in our day, in our place, in our time. It's a good question to ponder because it raises good considerations for us. And certainly such a question is complicated, and I'm not going to give you an easy answer this morning. You should know me well enough by now to know I don't give easy answers to just about anything. There's always layers to just about any kind of question that could be asked, and I'm not proposing an easy answer this morning either. Cannot be easily answered because it's complicated. But when it comes to miraculous events, there are certainly many factors, and some factors, like the will of God, are beyond our control. But other factors, such as faith, is certainly within our grasp, and we can do something about that. We can exercise our own faith. As Jesus clearly pointed out in the gospel text, our faith is a necessary component. It's one component in the miraculous and healing component, but it is one that needs to be exercised by us. We must always have faith in God. We should firmly believe that our God is the God that does wonders. And we should believe that God can do wondrous things in our day, in our time. It's not for back then in a book somewhere. The God that we serve hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sometimes, I would suggest, sometimes, that the equation before us is according to our faith as well. And perhaps our faith is weak. Perhaps our faith is lacking, and thus we see nothing happen because it's according to our faith, and we're not exercising faith. And we must exercise our faith. Clearly, faith was required in giving sight to these blind men. And clearly, elsewhere, if you read through the Gospels, there's several passages that it tells us where Jesus came to one town, and the statement is, he could do no great miracle there because of their lack of faith. So he just healed a few people that were sick and made his way to the next town. So clearly, faith is part of the miraculous and healing component that takes place. But we also need to be careful to say that the miraculous equation is not an algebraic equation. You can't turn it around to keep the equal sign where it belongs, and then it still comes out to equal the same, and it's still true. The faith equation isn't algebra, so you can't always turn a faith equation around and still expect it to be true. In fact, we come to some erroneous conclusions by doing that. So though we would absolutely say our faith is absolutely necessary in the equation, we would not and absolutely could not say that when something miraculous does not happen, that the reason it didn't happen is because we didn't have enough faith. We can never say that. And we can never say that because of all the other components that are part of the miraculous equation. We can never say that because we really do not see another person. We cannot see their heart. We don't really know what's going on. We don't see their faith. So how can we, from the outside, say, oh, when Sally prayed and it didn't happen, it's because she lacked faith? We can't. We don't know. There are many pieces to the miracle puzzle, and we have to understand that. We are always required to do the things that we can do. And on our part, we are supposed to exercise faith. We can't exercise a proxy in this manner. You know, Sally doesn't have enough faith, but she has Frank who has faith. And so she puts her faith in Frank's faith. No, it doesn't work that way. We don't have any proxies with our faith. We have to believe for ourselves. We can't expect others to believe for us. We have to exercise our faith. We must actively put our faith in God ourselves and believe that God can do the very things that we're asking him to do. But I also call attention to the fact that that was the beginning of the gospel passage. But look at how the gospel passage ends this morning. Notice that there was also a dumb demoniac brought to Jesus. And notice the contrast here. Jesus asks nothing of him, doesn't dialogue with him. There's nothing that is expected on his behalf. Jesus simply acts on his behalf out of the goodness of his heart, because he's good and loves mankind. He's the gracious Savior here to implement the kingdom of God, and he casts out the demon without being asked to do so. And the man spoke. St. John Chrysostom, in commenting on this very passage, calls attention to the fact that there is quite a contrast. You read the first part, and he says, according to your faith, and then here's the dumb demoniac just a few moments later, and he expects absolutely nothing from him. And he points out that the dumb demoniac is unable to act on his own behalf. He needed other people to bring him to Jesus. And he couldn't even make the request himself because the demon had bound up his tongue. He could not speak. How could he request from Jesus to be healed? So others had to make the request for him. It's because of his state, because Jesus sees where he is. Jesus did not demand great faith from the dumb demoniac. He didn't demand anything of him. He just acted and interjected in himself into that situation to bring about glory, the glory of God and the deliverance of this man. Jesus simply acted out of his love and his grace and freed him from the demon's grasp, and he was free. So see, this is yet another story in the life of Christ, and that's why we can't make formulas and try to put God in a box and those kinds of things and then expect that it's always going to be one way. Clearly in this gospel passage, we have it both ways. But clearly the principle is we must do the things that we can do. We don't expect others to do for us the things that we can do for ourselves. Father Hopko has developed a series of maxims for life, and at one point it was like 40-something, and now it's up to like 56 or something, and it's worth having and looking at. If you haven't done so, I can refer you to a place where you can find it. And one of those maxims that's always made an impact on me is never do for others what they can do for themselves. That it's actually a wrong thing to live by the principle of doing things for others when it's something they in fact should do for themselves. And I'm tweaking that a little bit this morning and reminding us that we should not expect others to do the things for us that we in fact can do for ourselves and should do for ourselves. And faith is definitely one of those things. We don't see the spiritual life as God working while we do nothing. Synergy is required. God is working in us, through us, beside us. The two blind men could not see, but they could believe. And so Christ required them to exercise that faith as part of the component of their receiving their sight. They were to believe. It was according to their faith. But then again, the demoniac couldn't believe it on his own, could not even make the request on his own, could do nothing on his own behalf. And Christ acted graciously out of the goodness and grace, bestowing grace upon this man because of his love. He acts despite this fact. We need to understand that we serve a God who is good and who loves mankind. We serve a God who does perform wonders. But this doesn't excuse us from doing our part of the equation. We must believe. We must exercise faith. We too must learn to consistently cry out, "Son of David, have mercy on us." We must do the things that we can do. And the wondrous God who loves mankind meets us, works in us, works through us as that synergy, that divine synergy, that meeting place between our efforts and the power of God takes place. And truly, it is as the psalmist says, God is wondrous in his saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.